The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For more information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.
Ask you to turn with me in the Word of God this morning to Psalm 128. Last week we considered Psalm 127, and even though it's not necessarily a sequel or a companion psalm, it does address some very similar concepts to what we addressed last week in Psalm 127. So turn to what's most likely the same page in your Bible. Go down one Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. I haven't got around to preaching this message. I studied it out a couple years ago, and just never necessarily felt burdened or directed to consider it. Of the forgotten Beatitudes in the Bible. You know, we know from Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, right? That at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, etc., etc. But there's a whole lot of blessed are Beatitudes. Beatitudes just simply means blessings. The Beatitudes all throughout the Bible. And there's a whole lot of them out there. And I never got around to really preaching on that. Who knows, it may come back around to the table at some point. But blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in his ways. This is a person that is in a blessed condition. And if you look at this both in the Hebrew and then also in the New Testament and the Sermon on the Mount in the Greek, that word blessed simply means happy. Happy. It says in another psalm, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Right? We looked at last week. Verse 5 of Psalm 127, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of children. Happy, blessed is the man that has his quiver full. Happy, blessed is the man, is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in his ways. Fear of the Lord is an evidence of regeneration, because we know that the scriptures teach that man in his totally depraved state and his sinful nature, there is no fear of God before his eyes. You know, we look at Romans chapter 1 and the conclusion of that chapter, and you see just the descending, declining nature of the depravity of man. And the common theme of that, progression of wickedness, unfortunately, there in Romans chapter 1, is that they reject the authority and the sovereignty of God. They want to rebel against the authority of God. You know, we looked at Romans chapter 2, I believe, on Wednesday nights a while back, and it describes the kings of the earth and those that are in positions of authority saying, we want to cast off the bands of God. In other words, we don't like the being in a position where we are not fully sovereign. So what are we going to do? We're going to reject God. We don't like being told. You want to know, that's really the crux of the issue when someone says that they claim atheism. Okay? That's why it says that a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Because you have to deny just common sense, everything around you, to reach a conclusion that you may not believe that it's Jesus Christ that's a God. Okay? You may reject that, but even natural man looks at the creation around him and should have a conclusion that there is something greater than me that came up with this. Again, if you don't subscribe to our iTunes podcast for the Gospel of Grace, the radio, I hope you tune in on Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. They're on WLZA, but check us out on the internet, you know, the podcast. But you need to listen to Brother Joe Nettle's messages on So Complex, It's Simple. He's talked about the cosmos and proteins and DNA, and he's got some other ones coming up on new kinds that it is just so remotely impossible that even DNA replication that is so microscopic, that is the basis of everything in every single one of our cells, the possibility of this stuff happening randomly is so big our mind can't even comprehend all the zeros that are after the one. It is impossible, okay? It is absolutely impossible for this stuff to happen randomly. So the reason why people reject that there is a God is the fact of the matter is they don't want to be held accountable to a higher authority, okay? They don't want to accept the fact that they are accountable to a higher authority. And you know what? Someone may choose to reject that in their life. They may choose to reject the fact that there is a God and display no fear or reverence or respect of the authority and the sovereignty of God here in this world. But I'll tell you, everyone will be a believer at the second coming of the Lord, because everyone, without exception, even the wicked people that crucified Jesus Christ, that have rejected not only the authority of Jesus Christ, but rejected the fact that there is a God, at the second coming of the Lord, every single knee will bow without exception and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that makes me happy, you know. There's a lot of struggles in the Psalms, written by David and quite a few other people, struggling with why do the wicked seem to prosper here in this world, and the people of God are typically poor and afflicted, as it tells us in Zephaniah, you know, poor and afflicted, but the people that live ungodly seem to be exalted here in this world. And sometimes it can just make us a little bitter. You know, when are they going to reap what they've sown? Well, they may not fully reap what they've sown here in this life, but there will come a time at the judgment seat of God, everyone that's not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ will receive the full recompense of their reward. And those that are not covered by the blood of Christ will receive full, just punishment in the lake of fire for all of eternity. Okay? Those that don't fear God is a description of those that have not had a work of grace in their heart. Okay? There's no fear of God before man in his totally depraved state. So therefore, if there's one that fears the Lord, you are absolutely in a blessed state. Why? Because that means God chose you before the foundation of the world. That means God quickened you by grace and gave you new life in Jesus Christ. Now you have a capacity to fear God and serve God. You have a capacity to walk in His ways. There's no more blessed condition than that, right? There's no more blessed condition that I can reason in my mind. You know, this is not being prideful in any way when we read verses in the New Testament that says, because we love the brethren, that is evidence that we have passed from death unto life. That's not me saying I love the brethren, so I can beat my chest and say, yeah, I am one of the elect. No, it just gives you an assurance and a peace and a confidence in your heart to know that, you know what? God did love me. God did save me, right? The only reason I love Him and I love others is because He first loved me before the foundation of the world. So when we fear God, we should have that same response. It's just an evidence, a humbling evidence, that God loves me. And He's changed my wicked nature to where I wouldn't fear Him. I wouldn't reverence Him apart from Him giving me that reverence and that fear. Now, this fear is not a terror. It's not a frightened, being afraid of Godzilla or King Kong, some huge thing that gives us true fear and anxiety. This describes a reverence and a respect. And we have to understand that God is God and we're not. He's our Father, and we're the Son. He's the husband, which is the head, and we are the bride of Christ. But in those relationships, there is still an intimacy of that relationship, right? And you have a respect for your Father, but you still have an open communication and relationship with your Father, right? So we don't need to put God on such a pedestal that we feel like, you know, we're not approaching unto Him. When we approach in prayer, we're not approaching unto Mount Sinai, right? Where they're so afraid of it, they couldn't walk up to the mountain because they were afraid if I touched it, I was going to die. No, we're approaching a Mount Zion, right? Where we're not afraid to approach unto God. Now, we need to respect Him, though, right? We need to respect God, but not put Him to such a degree that we feel like we can't approach Him as truly our best friend, because there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I just had one of them just a couple weeks ago. I had a little light bulb on that verse. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And why is he closer than a brother? It's because he's our husband, right? He's one flesh with us. We are one with Him. And I'm thankful for good, faithful brothers, both naturally and spiritually in the church. But there is a relationship that's closer than a brother. And it is a husband and wife relationship that is one flesh. You know, we need to have that kind of close connection with the Lord, right? So there is an intimacy of relationship, but we also need to understand that He's God and we're not, okay? We need to reverence Him. Well, Michael Goins wrote a phenomenal book a couple years ago. Well, maybe more than a couple years ago. I got it a couple years ago. Entitled Rediscovering Reverence. And I believe he did a very phenomenal job of channeling a lot of the problems that we have in the church and in Christianity have to do with our lack of reverence of the authority and the sovereignty of God. You know, it's a sobering thing to think about the fact of how great God is and that He even allows us to approach unto Him. You know, I mentioned Mount Sinai earlier. That's really the kind of relationship we should have with God, really. But praise the Lord, He is a God of love that welcomes His children and His bride to Him in close fellowship with Him. But that's the kind of fearful relationship, honestly, as great as God is, that's the kind of relationship we should have with Him, to be afraid of Him all the time, because God is a consuming fire, right? That's a frightful thing to think about. You read the Bible, and there's a lot of judgments of Him, you know, people doing something, and Him striking them dead immediately because of things they did. And God, think about the fact that God is, again, a consuming fire, and He sends these judgments. You know, that's a can be a very frightful thing. But we're reminded of the fact that, and we're reminded this, we should be reminded of this every time we pray. Because how do we begin our prayers? We remind ourselves of not only the intimacy of the relationship of we're His Son and He's our Father, but we also know from the Bible you have to respect your Father, right? Children, obey, reverence, respect your parents in the Lord, right? So I am thankful for the intimacy of relationship that we have with the Lord, right? As both our husband and our father. But we also have to respect Him as our Father, reverence Him as our Father. And it's so easy to get so cavalier with the way that we view God and just our casual conversation. You know, God says in the Ten Commandments, first of all, you have no other gods before Me, right? That's a reverence. That's a fear and a respect of His authority as the sovereign God of this universe. You have no other gods before Me. And you also don't diminish My essence of being everywhere present and nowhere absent. You don't diminish My essence by making a graven image either. But you also don't take the Lord's name in vain. Why? Because His name is to be reverenced. His name is to be exalted. And I know I found myself in the past just casually texting an OMG. Oh my God. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. Okay? That His name is to be reverenced and exalted. And that stuff has become so prevalent in our just casual conversation. Oh my Lord. You know what? The Lord's name is reserved for worship. Not a unfortunate situation that you're not happy with. And you make that that kind of a statement in a cavalier way. And understand, I know whereof I speak, okay? And I've tried to be very vigilant of that, because it's just become so commonplace in our culture to diminish the name of Jesus Christ, to diminish the name of God and the name of the Lord. And even Christians, even myself, in times past, have spoken in a very cavalier way with the name of God. No, His name is to be exalted. His name is to be reverenced. His name is to be honored. His name is to be glorified. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in His ways. So blessed is everyone that walks in the ways of God. Let's go to Psalm chapter 1. And this describes some of how the walk of a blessed person should look like. And you shouldn't be surprised. How does Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1 begin in the exact same way? Again, some of these forgotten beatitudes. Blessed is. Okay? You are blessed if you do it, but you're also in a blessed condition if you are doing it. You know, that's kind of a double-edged sword, isn't it? We fear the Lord because God has saved us to give us the ability to fear the Lord. But if you actively choose to fear the Lord, you're blessed in doing it. In other words, you're in a blessed condition regardless if you perform these actions, right? Because that's evidence that you are in a blessed condition of being among God's elect, right? And being saved. But you are in a so much more blessed position if you reverence God on a daily basis. If you walk not, Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, you are in a blessed condition on a daily basis if you walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, if you don't stand in the way of sinners, if you don't sit in the seat of the scornful. You don't put yourself in ungodly positions. You don't put yourself in a position where you could make mistakes. That's one of the most important things, especially for people that are growing up and don't have the maturity of age and years yet, is you don't need to put yourself in a position where the outcome will most likely be bad instead of most likely be good, all right? Now, you could tend to think that, oh, it doesn't, you know, my faith is strong enough for me to hang out in the counsel of the ungodly and walk in the way of, or stand in the way of sinners and sit in the seat of the scornful. You know, I'm going to be a testimony to them. I'm going to let my light shine. Well, anywhere you're at, you need to let your light shine. But that doesn't mean you voluntarily choose to hang out in the middle of darkness just to let your light shine, right? We know better than that. But it's very important for you to not put yourself in a position where the outcome will most likely be bad instead of the outcome will most likely be good. What's going to happen most likely when you hang out with ungodly sinners and scornful? You're going to be influenced by ungodliness, sin, and scorning, right? It's very simple. So we walk not in these negative things, but instead, what path do we walk? Instead, what path do we walk where we're in a blessed condition? We walk in the path of the Word of God, but His delight. You know, He gives you the negative, and then He gives you the positive. So let me insert, if you'll give me a little bit of liberty, let me insert the beginning of verse 1 into the beginning of verse 2. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. To read the Word of God, to meditate on the Word of God, and revolve it again and again in your mind. We're about to be concluding 2020 and beginning 2021, and I myself have slacked on it this year. It's been a very busy year, and I haven't zoned in as much as I should have, but in 2021, I'm going to put out a new Bible reading plan, and hope you'll embark on that. I know I need to hold myself more accountable this year for that. But the Word of God, and you know this, I beat this drum so much, the Word of God is not for preachers, okay? God inspired His Word that the church, that the man of God, that the woman of God, that you individually would be throughly furnished unto all good works. And read the Word of God, but don't just read it. When you have, and this is something I've done such a bad job of, but I'm trying to cultivate it, is when I have those spare 5 or 10 minutes during my day, right? You know, when I'm in the vehicle, when I have those spare 5 or 10 minutes at work, it's so easy to, especially when I'm at my computer at work, it's so easy to just check a news website or check ESPN or check Facebook or something else. It's so easy to just go check something like that, and that's in the habit I've got of. But instead, I really need to, I'm trying to train myself in those spare moments that I have throughout the day to pull up my Bible app on my phone, to meditate on a scripture, to think about something spiritual during those spare moments. And guess what? If you start really thinking about all of those small periods of time you have during the day, there's really no reason that we can't spend 10 to 15 minutes reading the Word of God. Hope you can do more than that, but reading the Word of God, if you do it early in the morning, by the way, that allows you to meditate on what you read throughout the day, all right? But it's really not as difficult as it might sound. When you take up all of these, you know, 5 to 10 minutes where I use an unprofitable way by just pulling up something up on my phone very quickly, instead I need to use that time to, I can still use my phone, but maybe pull up my Bible app instead, right? Or have my mind drawn back to the Word of God and the scriptures that I read this morning. His delight is in the law of God, in the law of the Lord, and His law doth he meditate day and night. That's to bring it back to your mind. You know, you need to read it, but you also need to be thinking about it, meditating on it, revolving in your mind. The word meditate gives the idea of a cow chewing the cud, right? Just continually chewing on it and chewing on it and chewing on it. And you'll be surprised, the more you chew on it, the more you'll get out of it, the more you'll see. And I hope that God blesses you in your study of Scripture to where you have those moments where you've read something many times and you've kind of maybe glossed over it, or maybe you've seen a lot from it, but then all of a sudden God just gives you these little nuggets that you hadn't seen before. And that's very exciting for a preacher, but I hope that's exciting for you as well. But I will present for your consideration that happens a whole lot more when you meditate on the Word of God instead of you reading it just very quickly. And I would also encourage you, if you do have a regimented practice of reading God's Word, make sure that you pray before you begin reading. Again, I'm speaking to myself primarily. Pray before you begin reading. Lord, bless me to understand your word, because it's so easy to get mechanical in those things. It's so easy to say, all right, I got to check my box, and I got to check this box so I can go on and get to all my other boxes that have to get checked before I go to sleep tonight. No, we need to not just check a box in reading God's word, but no, have your mind zoned in and say, Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to allow me to understand this word. Now, what is the effect? What is the condition of those that follow these practical admonitions of discipleship, right? You forsake ungodliness, you don't hang around with bad people, you read the Word of God, you meditate on the Word of God, and we all want to be in this blessed condition, right? Everyone wants to be like a tree, verse 3, planted by the rivers of the water that bring forth fruit in his season, and his leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, the reason why that tree can withstand drought is because it's by a river, right? It's because it's by a place where it gets sustenance from. And that comes from the Word of God, right? From the Lord and from His Word. But this tree is positioned because of the depth of its roots, because of its stability, in being in an area that's very well watered and well fertile. It is well positioned to not just bring forth fruit, but to withstand challenges and storms when they come, right? Think about a tree that's just small, that doesn't have any roots. Those are the ones that get blown over very easy, right? I'm not overly concerned about this big old oak in front of our church blowing over with a minor windstorm. Why? Because that thing's been well watered. It's got deep roots, right? It's stable. It's secure. And that is the condition of God's people when we follow that pattern, to not just that we are blessed, but that we're living in a blessed state, right? Because we're following the commands of the Word of God. Back in Psalm 128 and verse 2. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. You know, it's a blessing to go out during the day and work hard have reward from that hard work, and then be able to provide for your family, to eat a good healthy meal, and then, as we saw in Psalm 127, to then have just a healthy, deep, good night's sleep, right? That's a blessing. It's a blessing. Especially we know that some people have had challenges going out and have a desire, but they've had a challenge finding work to be able to provide for themselves and for their family. It's a blessing for the Lord to give you that opportunity to go out and work in that way. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and in verse 13 is what I'm looking for. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. Solomon said it's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. It's a blessing, right? It's a blessing to have the physical health and the ability to go out and work hard, but also for God to bless you in that hard work, right? You know, I don't think many of us are in the agricultural primary profession in the sense of that's the primary means of you providing for your family. But think about how dependent, you know, a farmer is on the blessing of God. And that's very evident. That's in front of our mind, right? You can do everything right. You work hard. You plant it, fertilize it, you water it. You do everything right, but you're still dependent upon God to bless you. Well, really, at the end of the day, we're all dependent on God in that way. And it's more evident to the farmer, but we really need to pray to God in the same way that the farmer does, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, bless me with the ability and the health and the situation to have a job and to go out and provide for my family in an appropriate way, not for the purpose of just getting all this excess, but Lord, give us what we need. Give us what we need where we're not struggling and stressed out all the time, hopefully. But then maybe even give us a little bit extra where we can help others. And that's a blessing from God. It's a gift of God. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Verse 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. You know, let's not forget where this starts. It starts with reverencing God, respecting God, fearing God. And we're called to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We're supposed to raise children that have the same principles and values that we do. And if we reverence God, then that means our children should reverence God. Our children should have a high view of God. And they know that you do not take the Lord's name in vain. They know you do not devalue the name of God. And if we place a priority on our individual lives and in our families on fearing God, then we will be fruitful in our families. And again, as we discussed last week, thriving churches are built by thriving families. Right? Where does it start with? It starts with us in the home. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of your house, keeping the house, guiding the house, raising up the children, and nurturing the admonition of the Lord. Not a withered down vine. No, she's fruitful. Why? Because your family is committed to reverencing God, right? To honoring the Lord and walking in God's ways. And thy children like olive plants round about thy table. These olive plants are fruitful. They are abundant. You know, I mentioned last week and having the privilege to go up with Bethany's grandmother, Sister Patty Machiavello, and as we sang to her as she was passing away here from this life, and went into that little room, and there was, you know, probably 40 or 50 people packed in that room, and let's see here, 27, three kids that led to 27 grandkids, and no telling how many greats and great-greats. But I can just imagine, talk about a blessed condition, you know, a blessed and happy condition, and all of those olive plants right in front of you, you know, especially that weekend where she came home from the hospital and she was so lucid and everyone had a chance to visit with her when she was totally in her right mind before she descended a little bit. I can just imagine the testimony, maybe, of God in her heart. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, right? And she looked at all these olive plants that came from hours upon hours away just to see her, right? What a blessing. What a blessing. And I want you to understand, that's a blessing in our families individually. But the context of this primarily is Zion, is the church, is Jerusalem, as we'll see. Then he brings it back home in verse 4 again. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. Where does this blessing come from? It comes from placing God first and foremost. And if we do that, right, if we put God in the appropriate place, doesn't that just flow so well to the greatest commandment? Which is to love God with all of our heart and with all of our soul and all of our mind, right? To seek you first, the kingdom of God. That's very easy when we put God in the appropriate place, isn't it? It's very easy to seek the kingdom of God first and foremost when we reverence and honor God first and foremost. That's easy, right? You understand that all of these are natural expressions of just putting God first and foremost by honoring and reverencing God. The Lord shall bless thee. And I want you to understand, it's a great blessing to have a natural family. It's a great blessing to have, to see, as it says in verse 6, thy children's children. It's a great blessing to have grandkids, but what an even greater blessing to see these blessings in the kingdom of God, to see these blessings in church. You know, I can only imagine the blessing of washing my son's feet. But then I can only imagine multiply that even more by the blessing of washing my grandson's feet. And who knows, maybe if I live long enough, my great-grandson's feet. Who knows? But these blessings are not out in the world. That's what's so important to understand, is that when we make this commitment to fear the Lord, by the way, if you place the kingdom of God first and foremost in your life, if you put God first and foremost in your life, you will be hindered in your advancement in the corporate ladder. Okay? You will be. But guess what? God will honor your commitment to place God first and foremost. Because the corporate world is not concerned in placing the kingdom of God first and foremost. No, what's first and foremost is this job. What's first and foremost is this company. No, when you put God first and foremost, especially when you forsake laying up for yourselves natural riches to put real riches in the kingdom of God, I'll tell you, God honors that. God honors that. And don't ever forget the context in which, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, that God tells you to seek you first the kingdom of God. The context in that is God providing for your daily needs. He said, you know, backing it up to beginning in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, but instead lay up for your treasures in heaven, where it's not going to corrupt, where your heart is, there will your treasure be also, right? And our hearts need to be first and foremost committed to putting the kingdom of God at the top of our list. And then you continue on through Matthew chapter 6, and he says, why are you concerned about your daily bread? I care for the fowls. I care for Solomon's lilies. I care for all of these things. Why are you, child of God, concerned that I'm not going to provide for all of your needs if God's loving anyway, and God's going to provide for his people anyway? But I'll tell you what, you will do it with peace. You know, that's what we saw in Psalm 127, right? It is vain, and it's hard work, and it is miserable. It's a miserable life to wake up early and to stay up late and to eat the bread of sorrows. It's a miserable life to live, but it's a blessed life. It's a happy life to put the kingdom of God first and foremost. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to pray every day, Lord, give me this day my daily bread, and then lay your head down at night saying, Lord, thank you for providing for my daily bread. You know, I have what I need. Why? Because I did it God's way. I put God first. I reverenced God and put him first and foremost in my life. And notice the context. This is what's so important. Notice the context of these blessings, because there's a lot of prosperity preachers out there that say, if you do this, if you give me this much money, et cetera, et cetera, you're going to be blessed financially. You're going to be blessed in all these material ways. That is not the blessings that give us joy for the child of God in our life. The Lord shall bless thee out of what? Out of Zion, out of the church, out of the kingdom. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem. And we know that's not, you know, the Old Testament nation of Israel is a natural depiction of God's spiritual people and spiritual Israel. Because, you know, my blessings are not coming out of the natural city of Jerusalem on the other side of the world. That city's been destroyed twice by the Lord. And what a sad condition for people that have rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. But do you know that the Temple Mount, where this glorious temple that used to be the place, the designated place of the glory of God in this world, the Solomon's Temple, is now the location of the Dome of the Rock that is one of the most sacred, holy places in the Islamic faith. I'll tell you, if you think that the Lord, now the Lord has a people among the nation of Israel, and the Lord may, in time, do some miraculous work to rebuild the temple over there. And there's some prophecies that indicate that. They may be spiritual prophecies, they may not be natural, but there are certainly some prophecies that seem to indicate that. But what a blatant rejection of the natural nation of Israel than the place that the physical temple used to be is now the place that they worship Allah. I'll tell you, that tells you how the Lord views the way that the natural nation of Israel feared Him, by the way, reverenced Him. The place that used to be the most holy, sacred place in all of Jewish faith is now the place where they worship the false god of Allah by people who want to do nothing more than kill Christians. I tell you, my hope, my blessings are not in the physical city of Jerusalem. You know that, right? Our blessings are not in the physical Mount Zion. No, our blessings are in the spiritual Mount Zion, in the kingdom of God, in the church, here in Macedonia Church. This is where the Lord will bless you out of, in the kingdom of God. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all thy days, and thou shalt see thy children's children. It's a blessing to have grandkids, right? Every one of his grandparents told me that. But what a greater blessing, especially, you know, I put myself in the shoes of people that had it a whole lot harder than I had it, and say, you know, we got married and we had nothing, but we made a commitment when it was just, you know, me and my wife and nothing. We made a commitment that we're going to reverence God, right? We're going to fear God. We're going to put the kingdom of God first and foremost. And there's a high probability that they weren't materially wealthy in their life, but you fast forward 50 years and they see their children's children. It's great to play with grandkids, but they see their children's children in the church, in Zion, in the kingdom, not just going through the motions, devoted to the kingdom of God. Where did that come from? Where did that come from? It come from the original commitment for us individually and as a family that trickles down to our kids and to our grandkids. Where did that start with? It started with us individually making a commitment to fear and reverence God first and foremost. And it's great to play with grandkids, but thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. You can't even tie, the Jews have been so maligned and so scattered and destroyed. You can't even trace. There was a time where you could in the Old Testament, but you can't even trace the genealogy now to verify that even that anyone is a natural born Jew. The records aren't there to verify it. You know? It's evident that this is not talking about the natural nation of Israel has no bearing on me today. But as a circumcised in the heart child of God that is a member of the Israel of God, it has everything to do with me. It has everything to do with me as a citizen of Mount Zion. It has everything to do with me as a disciple of Christ in the church. And I just can't imagine fullness, the happiness, and the blessedness of soul that some of these grandparents would have in having grandkids come forward and join the church and having the opportunity to wash their feet and see them not just making that initial step of discipleship, but them putting the kingdom of God first and foremost in their life. I'll tell you, that is where true riches, that's where true joy, that's where true blessedness and happiness come from, right? The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. It's like I said, if we put God first and foremost, fear and reverence God, there's a high probability you may not be blessed to the degree you want to be blessed, in a natural sense, in your career. Okay? Because there's most likely going to come a point where you're going to have to choose, okay? I might have the ability to have a promotion. I might have the ability to make more money, but is it going to prevent my ability to put the kingdom of God first and foremost in my life, to raise my family in the manner and the nurture and admonition of the Lord that God has called me to? And if you're, I'm not saying it's not wrong to take promotions. You have to make your own decisions. But if you choose to give that up, there's a whole lot of people that would look at that in a natural sense and say, wow, look at everything you left on the table, right? Look at everything you gave up. What you should be able to answer is, you know what? My blessings are not in my nameplate at work. My blessings are not on my paycheck. My blessings are not on my net worth balance sheet, either now or when I pass away. That's not where my blessings lie. Because guess what? We are just pilgrims passing through for a little bit of time. Okay? I am so glad that God saw fit to give us the blessing of the kingdom of heaven, but the only thing that should really do is give you a little bit of a taste of heaven where I don't really want to stay here too long, right? You know, I can't remember what song it is, but it says, I think it may have been How Happy's Every Child of Grace that we sang this morning. What is there here to court my stay? You know, what is there really here when I think about the eternal blessings of God? Why would I want to stay here? No, I'm just a long time traveling here below for the ultimate purpose of laying this body down. Because eternal blessings are way better than any news release that announces your promotion. They're so much greater than any natural blessing than we could have here in this world. And we need to be good citizens and make decisions while we're here in this world, but don't hold too tightly to the things of this world. Because our natural lifespan, it says in Psalms, is, you know, 70, you know, and if by reason of strength, it's maybe 80, you know, 70 to 80 years is a general lifespan. What is that in comparison to eternity? Right? What is that in comparison to the blessings of heaven? No, I am so thankful that the Lord saw fit to give us some of those blessings here in time, to bless us out of Zion, to see the peace of Israel, by the way, the peace of Israel. I'm so thankful for the peace we have here in this church, the peace we have in the collective body of churches here in this area. It's a blessing to have peace in Israel. It's a blessing to have peace in Zion. But the blessings of life for the child of God that makes a commitment to fear God first and foremost, you can't say, I'm not blessed because I don't have X material thing. That's what I'm saying. No. In the New Testament, it says, look, if you forsake houses and lands, fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters, you're going to give up those natural things. Guess what? You're going to get them back. But you're going to get them back in a spiritual way. He says, you're going to give up all these things. You're going to forsake houses and lands and fathers, but you're going to get brothers in the church, sisters, fathers, and houses and lands. Now, you're going to get a bonus too with persecutions. But even in those persecutions, you have fellowship with Jesus Christ, right? But that is just a foretaste. He says, look, you're going to give up these things. You're going to get these spiritual blessings in the church and the kingdom of God. But ultimately, you're going to have life everlasting. See, that's what that's pointing to. And we need to reverence God, place God first and foremost in our life, honor and reverence Him. And I certainly hope He'll bless us to do that in our lives of discipleship.
We thank you for listening to today's message and invite you to visit Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church for worship services every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Macedonia is located at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, 5 miles north of Ackerman, Mississippi. For further information about Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, you may visit our website at macedonia-pbc.org.